Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm continuing in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, concerning this subject, the shepherd and his sheep. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and his people, sinners saved by grace, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as his sheep. And I began this last week, and this is the part two. This is where I'll conclude the message. So part one was last week. If you didn't hear that, then get that message. Look it up on our website or order it or listen to it in the various ways that we had to get the message to you. But I concluded at verse 16, and I was making this point. Christ said in verse 11 of John 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the point there is this. For whom did Christ die on that cross? Now, most people will say, well, he died for everybody, even those who end up in perishing in eternal damnation. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that he gave his life for the sheep, God's elect, his church, which he purchased with his own blood, and they will be saved. And somebody asked me one time, said, well, it doesn't matter what I do. If he didn't die for me, I'm not going to be saved. You're not to look at it that way, because the Bible commands us to seek the Lord. I don't care who you are. And those who seek the Lord, you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that there's none that seeketh after God. And what that's talking about is man in his fallen state of sin and death and depravity. You see, the Bible teaches that we all fell in Adam, even God's elect, even Christ's sheep. That's why they're called the lost sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53 says. And apart from a sovereign, invincible, powerful work of Christ sending his Spirit to bring us under the gospel and give us life in the new birth, we will not hear or see or seek after God. We'll seek religion. There in Romans chapter 3, verses 10, it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there's none that seeketh after God. That doesn't mean we won't seek a God. We'll seek a God that's like ourselves, an idol. But we won't seek the true and living God until he seeks us and finds us and brings us to seek him. And so when we talk about for whom Christ died, we're talking about all who are brought by God to faith in Christ and repentance. And you're commanded not to sit around and wonder who God's elect are or who the sheep are. You're commanded to seek the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Any sinner who truly seeks God in his word and is brought by God to faith in Christ, believing in Christ, resting in him for all salvation, for all forgiveness, for all righteousness, that's one of God's sheep. That's one of Christ's sheep. That's one of God's elect. That's a member of the church. And that sheep was lost, but he's been found. You remember the parable of the lost sheep, the 90 and 9? You know, when one sheep goes astray, the shepherd goes out and finds that sheep. And that's what it is. And he says, now, if you think you don't need salvation, you're okay. You're not, because you're deceiving yourself. But here he says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he says in verse 15, he says, as the Father knoweth me, so I know the Father, the intimate knowledge and relationship between the Father and the Son. That's the Trinity. It's Trinitarian language. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God in three persons. And we can't explain that. But he says this. This is how he knows his sheep. It's more than just knowing their names. Knowing who they are. You see, God in Christ is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everybody's name. He knows the hearts of people. He knows who his sheep are, and he knows the goats. Those who go through this life in unbelief and die in that state, die in their sins and perish. That's the goats. He knows who they are. He knows their hearts. But there is a saving love relationship between Christ the shepherd and his sheep. That's how he knows them. That's what verse 15 is talking about. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Why did he have to lay down his life for the sheep? People say, well, it's because he loved his sheep. Well, he did. He loved them unto the end, the scripture says. That means unto the finishing of the work. But the ultimate answer to why he laid down his life for the sheep was to satisfy God's justice against them for their sins. You see, before the foundation of the world, their name, God chose them and their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb that was slain. But we fell in Adam into sin and death. And so we, based upon our works, based upon what we earn or deserve, we could be damned. But God chose us and put us in Christ, gave us to Christ, and Christ agreed to do what was required to secure the salvation of his sheep. And what was required? Justice had to be satisfied. Blood had to be shed. The wages of sin is death, my friend. That's why Christ had to die. The debt of sin had to be paid in order for God to be just to justify the ungodly. God is a merciful God, but his mercy cannot be dispensed without justice satisfied. That's what the idea of propitiation in the Bible is about. The blood sprinkled on the mercy seat, you remember in the Old Testament. Christ is the propitiation for our sins. It is love, but it's not just love. It's here in 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God. Now we need to understand that his love is unconditional towards his people. So herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The sin-bearing sacrifice who brought satisfaction. Christ paid my debt in full. God is satisfied. Righteousness has been established, not by me, and righteousness has been imputed to his sheep, charged to their account. And how do you know that you're one of them? When you come to hear the gospel, the voice of the shepherd, by the power of the Spirit, and are brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. So he says, as the Father knoweth me, verse 15, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now look at verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now what fold is he talking about? The Jewish fold. God has a people out of every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every nation, every race. Not just the Jewish fold. Now he didn't come to save all Jews or all Gentiles. He came to save God's elect out of the Jews and the Gentiles. The gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first. It came through the Jews first in the New Testament here. But to the Greek or the Gentile also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, from knowledge revealed to knowledge received and believed. As it is written, the justified shall live by faith. And so he says in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He didn't say them also I'm going to try to bring if they'll let me. No, that's false religion today. He said, I must bring them. He must have his sheep. Why? Because he laid his life down for them. He said in John chapter, over in John chapter 12, just over a page or two here, and he's talking about his death on the cross. And he made this statement in John chapter 12. He said in verse 31, he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out," talking about Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And listen to verse 32. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." All who? All his sheep. "Them also I must bring." He said, this he said, signifying what death he should die. So look, go back to John 10 now, verse 16. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." They're going to hear his voice at some time appointed by God. They're going to be brought under the preaching of the gospel, and they're going to be born again by the Spirit. They're going to be able to see things that they weren't able to see before because they had no desire for it. They were spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. Remember, fallen in Adam into sin and spiritual death and depravity. If you want to talk about depravity, somebody might say, "Well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not depraved." How do you respond to the preaching of the voice of the shepherd, the voice of Christ, the gospel? Because if you walk away in unbelief, that's a sign of total depravity, spiritual death. You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again or you don't have ears to hear. Remember, Christ told his disciples in the kingdom parables, when they asked, "Why are you speaking in parables?" He said, "Well, they hearing, hear not. They seeing, see not. They're spiritually dead. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear." Do you hear what I'm saying? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That hearing that brings a sinner to faith in Christ is a gift of God. It's a miracle of God's grace. It's the application of the resurrection life of Christ to his people. It shows that they're elect of God, shows them that they're the church of the living God, part of the church. It shows them that they're the sheep. It shows them that they've been justified in God's sight and sanctified and adopted into his family. Well, look at verse 17. He says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again." The love of the Father to the Son. And this is speaking of Christ in his mediatorial relationship as the Savior of his people. There's an eternal relationship between Christ and the Father that's attributed to his deity. The love of the Son and the Father and the Spirit between each other. But this love was earned by his mediatorial work as God manifest in the flesh. And listen to what he says in verse 18. He says, "No man taketh it from me." That is his life. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Christ volunteered before the foundation of the world to be the Savior of his people, to take their sins upon himself as their surety. The sins of his sheep, God's elect, his church, imputed charge to him. And he willingly said, "I'll do what's required. I will come to this earth and unite with human flesh without sin and die on the cross to put away their sins and redeem them by his blood." He wasn't murdered. Now, in the eyes of fallen humanity, it was murder. But he said, "I lay down my life of myself." No man. He says, "I have power to lay it down." Look at verse 18. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." You see, the Father and the Son covenanted before the foundation of the world to do this great work for the salvation of the people whom he chose and gave to Christ. And so Christ, who in his deity, as the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit in the nature of deity, he submitted himself to the will of the Father as God manifest in the flesh. For what purpose? For the purpose of saving His people to the praise of the glory of God's grace. You see, Christ is not a lesser God. He is very much God. But in His office as mediator, as the shepherd, as the Savior of His people, the servant, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2 speaks of that. So He submitted Himself, not becoming less than what He was or is, but in order to attain and obtain the relationship of salvation between His Father and His people. Now look at verse 19. Now here comes the opposition. In John 10:19, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Now, the Pharisees, you remember we talked about that, how they had excommunicated a blind man in chapter 9 because he claimed to have been healed of his blindness by Jesus of Nazareth, and then later on became a follower. They excommunicated him. And so he's speaking to a mixed multitude here, the Pharisees, and then he has some sheep here. And it says in verse 19, there was a division, therefore again, among the Jews for these sayings. Verse 20, many of them said, he hath a devil. He's mad. He's crazy. Why hear ye him? Why do you listen to this man? Verse 21, others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? You remember in John 9, he'd heal a blind man. Verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, if you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. And in verse 25, listen to what Christ said here. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I've told you that I'm the Messiah, and you don't believe. But now verse 26 is very important here. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Did you hear what he said in that passage? He said, you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. Now, Christ, we don't, as human beings, I don't know who everyone, I don't know every one of God's sheep. I know right now that there are some people that I know who believe the gospel, unless they fool me. But I know they're my brothers and my sisters in Christ. They're the sheep. They've been brought into the sheepfold. But out there in the world, I know this, that right now there's some lost sheep. I don't know who they are. How do you find them? Preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to preach the gospel to anyone and everyone who will listen. And you know what? Christ is going to gather His sheep. He's going to call them in. He's going to give them life and bring them into the fold. He's going to give them faith to believe. He's going to bring them to repentance. He's going to give them a new heart, new life, all of that. That's His business. My business is simply to preach the gospel and then leave it unto Him. But now Christ, He knew His sheep and He knew who the goats were. And sad to say, right here in this verse 25, He tells them, or verse 26, He says, you're not of my sheep. And He says, look at the order of the language too. Word order in the Greek New Testament is very important. Verse 26, you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. He didn't say, you're not of my sheep, therefore you believe not, because you believe not. He says, the reason you don't believe, the reason that you're continuing in unbelief and will continue out unto death, because you're not of my sheep. He said, I said unto you, now verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. Who are His sheep? Well, another passage that I quote all the time in this program is Romans 1:16 and 17. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, to the Greek also, Jew or Gentile, everyone who believeth. To the Jew first, the Greek also," and that Greek there means the Gentiles, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed." And what is the righteousness of God there? Well, it's the merit, the value, the worth of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer, the preserver of his people. That's what the righteousness of God is. It's what Christ established on the cross in his death. It was prophesied in the book of Daniel that when the Messiah would come, that he would finish the transgression, he would make an end of sin, and he would bring in everlasting righteousness. And that's what he did. The sins of his sheep were put to his charge. They're called God's elect. In the book of Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 33 or 34, I can't remember exactly, but it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies." I believe that's 33. And then 34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us." That's what it is. And so, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." And listen, it says, "From faith to faith" in Romans 1:17. What does that mean, "from faith to faith"? Well, faith is knowledge. God revealed knowledge. That's what faith is. The basic Greek word is the word knowledge. In other words, you believe it because you know it to be true. And you know it to be true because God revealed it and it's backed up by His Word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So it's from faith to faith. From knowledge revealed. This is a revelation of God. You see, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood. It has to be revealed by the Spirit through the Word. You have to be given eyes to see it, and spiritual eyes, and spiritual ears to hear it. You have to be given a new heart in the new birth to understand and to believe it and love it and follow it. So it's from faith, from knowledge revealed, to faith, knowledge received. If it's revealed to you, you'll receive it because of what Christ did on the cross and because you're one of His sheep. And He says in Romans 1:17, "As it is written, the just, the justified, shall live by faith." They live by that knowledge revealed, knowledge received in God's Word. What is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all my sins on a just ground. It's to be declared righteous in God's sight on a just ground. And what is that just ground? The righteousness of God. Christ's righteousness freely imputed to me. And as a result, God gives me faith to receive it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That is, we look to Christ for salvation and for righteousness. And so he says, back in John 10, he says, verse 26, "But you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you," verse 20, "my sheep hear my voice." That's hearing the gospel, believing the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. And he says, "And I know them and they follow me." My friend, if you go through this life without coming to a saving knowledge of Christ and believing in Him and resting in Him, repenting of your dead works, all that past religion that you used to hold dear, now you see it as dung, as Paul called it. If you go through this life never coming to a saving knowledge of Christ, this is what it says. You're not one of His sheep. You're a goat. and he'll separate you from the sheep. He says in verse 28, he says, and I give unto them eternal life. They didn't earn eternal life. They don't deserve eternal life. None of his sheep. What are his sheep? Sinners saved by grace, who look to Christ as their only merit before God. I have no merit. Nothing I do, nothing I say, nothing. It will put me in a position where I can say I've earned God's grace and his blessings, or I deserve it. It's all Christ. So he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If he gives you eternal life, you won't perish. People say, oh, that's once saved, always saved. I don't care what you call it. The eternal security of the saved is a biblical concept, a biblical truth. And those who believe you can be saved and then lost, they are misinterpreting so many scriptures. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 says, those who went out from us were never of us. We may have thought they were. And that's why John's writing that, because there were people who claimed to believe the gospel and they were in with but true believers, and then they totally turned against it and left it. And John says they never were really of us. They were never really saved. Had they been of us, they would have no doubt remained with us. But they went out from us that it might be manifested that they were never of us. If God saves you, you can't lose it. And so he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And that message offended the Jews so much that they took up stones again to stone him. But of course he didn't allow that. He walked through. He was on his way to the cross. And that's where he set his face like a flint to go. And he wasn't going to go anywhere else until he laid his life down for the sheep. Hope you enjoyed this, and join us again next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.